Now it's time for the magazine, and the magazine editor this week is Margaret Ray. Articles include Zombie Orchids, Elevating the Humble Jacket Spud, Leisure by Margaret Ray, Leisure, a poem by W.H. Davies, and I'm Just Good at Running Around in Circles.
Zombie Orchids blooms amongst the Abbey ruins, from the Darlington and Stockton Times. Hundreds of zombie orchids have appeared amongst the ancient ruins of Fountains Abbey. The blooms have delighted visitors and raised new questions for experts about the hidden history of the site near Ripon. The flowers appeared within ruins along the riverbanks at the World Heritage Site following changes to mowing routines first introduced in 2024, after the filming of Danny Boyle's 28 Years Later. The overgrown look helped create the film's post-apocalyptic atmosphere. Mark Newman, National Trust archaeologist and author of The Wonder of the North, Fountains Abbey and Studley Royal, said, "One of the joys of archaeology is that it constantly prompts us to ask new questions about the landscapes we think we already know. The appearance of these orchids has given us a new mystery to explore and offers a wonderful reminder of how nature and history are deeply connected. The orchids are concentrated in specific areas of the ruins, prompting archaeologists to investigate how historic human activity may have shaped the present-day landscape. Historical records suggest that excavation and topsoil movement dating back to the 16th, 18th and mid-19th centuries could have altered the ground in ways that encourages the orchids to grow. Ground levels around certain parts of the abbey, such as a refectory, were once much higher than they are now. The unexpected appearances earned the name zombie orchids for the flowers because the seeds have lain dormant underground for more than 170 years before suddenly emerging. Mr. Newman added, "Rationally, we know that the ground within the abbey has been changed over centuries through excavation, landscaping and natural processes. Those changes may represent part of the answer, but at the moment we can't say with certainty exactly why the orchids have appeared in these particular places. Even in a landscape as well studied as Fountains Abbey, there are still discoveries waiting to be made, provided that we're inspired to keep asking new questions and finding out how the facts we already have fit together in new ways."
From the Darlington and Stockton Times, Elevating the Humble Jacket Spud by Ruth Laws. It wasn't too long ago that jacket potatoes were considered an unfashionable and unimaginative dish, relegated to the bottom of the league of British dishes. But now the humble spud is having a moment in the culinary spotlight, thanks to social media, with even Waitrose reporting 178% increase in searches for jacket potatoes on its website last year. Among those driving the comfort foods comeback is Anthea Malialis, a higher level teaching assistant turned cooking influencer, otherwise known as the Jacket Potato Queen, for her viral jacket potato topping recipes such as hog roast dinner and creamy garlic king prawns. But it was when she published a jacket potato recipe that the mother of three's social media truly blew up. It went absolutely mental, like over a billion views easily, she recalls. Now, though, on reflection, Malialis isn't surprised the internet's attention was captured by the spud, as they're budget-friendly, comforting and easy to make. "I feel like I've come up with so many different topping ideas. It proves the jacket potato doesn't have to be boring," adds Malialis, who's produced a cookbook, Super Home Cook, featuring many of them. Not one to gatekeep the secrets of perfecting the jacket potato, Malialis shares her top tips, from how to cook the best spud to the quickest toppings for time-poor home cooks. How to cook the best jacket potato. While there is lively debate about the best cooking method for a jacket potato, the key to the comfort dish lies in the potato itself, according to Malialis. You've got to have the best potato, she says. I've tried all the different supermarket potatoes, but I always come back to the same one, and that's Tesco's loose baking potatoes. It just works every time. Golden, crispy and soft in the middle. As for her go-to cooking process, Malialis bakes her potatoes in both the microwave and air fryer. She starts by piecing the potato, wrapping it in a kitchen towel before heating it in the microwave for 6 to 8 minutes, depending on the size, at 200 centigrade. Next, once the potato has cooled, she seasons it with olive oil and salt, covers it with tin foil, and then bakes it in the air fryer at 180 degrees for 45 minutes. After removing the tin foil, she continues cooking the uncovered potato in the air fryer at the same temperature for a final 10 minutes to finish the perfect jacket potato. Quick and easy jacket potato toppings. Jacket potatoes are already a quick meal, but you can cut even more time by batch cooking toppings, Malialis says. Instead of cooking the portion you need for one meal, consider doubling the amount and storing the rest in the freezer for later use. Put the portions in a Ziploc bag, flatten it down and put it in your freezer, and it will last up to 3 or 4 months, Malialis says. With leftover curry, they taste even better the next day, so if you freeze it and defrost it, it would be even better. If you're really strapped for time, Malialis suggests cold toppings to eliminate the cooking process entirely. Tuna or chicken and sweet corn mayonnaise are Malialis' top picks for easy-to-assemble but delicious toppings. They're so easy to put together, particularly if you have a leftover rotisserie or roast chicken from a previous day, she says. Wowing dinner party guests with jacket potatoes. There is a misconception that jacket potatoes are only suitable for a speedy lunch or dinner with family, but they can make an excellent dinner party dish, according to Malialis. Rather than serving singular jacket potatoes to guests, Malialis suggests creating a jacket potato tray bake. I put around 6 in a tray and then cover them with a topping like chicken Alfredo or Philly cheese steak, she says. Not only is this a crowd pleaser, but it's easy to whip up before guests arrive, meaning you can spend more time in their company rather than labouring in the kitchen.
Leisure by Margaret Ray. We are experiencing wonderful warm summer weather for the past few weeks. Are people any happier to enjoy and relax and soak up the sun? Many around us are not. Complaining about the heat, unable to sleep, too hot to work, the gardens are too dry. When is it going to rain? I am enjoying this weather, and if it is to continue due to climate change, we will have to adapt. Sitting in the garden brought to mind W.H. Davies' poem, Leisure, which most people will remember from school days, a time to relax and enjoy the beauty of nature around us.
Leisure, written by W.H. Davies in 1911. What is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare. no time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep and cows. No time to see when woods we pass where squirrels had their nuts in grass. No time to see the broad daylight, streams full of stars like skies at night. No time to turn to beauty's glance and watch her feet, how they can dance. No time to want till her mouth can enrich the smile her eyes began. A poor life this, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare.
I'm just good at running around in circles, from The Living magazine. Sir Mohammed Farah knows a thing or two about just keeping on going. Considered the most successful male track distance runner of all time, he holds the world record for the one-hour run and the European record for the outdoor 10,000 metres, plus British records for the 3,000 metres and 5,000 metres. He won the Chicago Marathon in 2018 too. But even then, with all that experience, he knows exactly what hitting the wall feels like. Like the wheels come off, says the 43-year-old over Zoom, throwing both hands in the air. It's like being in a car, and then suddenly they are gone. You go, we've got to punch one, two, three, and you've got to get that car across the line. It's so difficult, but it's all in the mind, as well as physically. Having the right support can be just the thing that helps you push through it. Just encourage one another, he says. We've all been there and done it, even myself. Whether it's 5K or the marathon, there's certain moments in my career where perhaps, if I could talk about or have a little bit more help, that probably made me go a little bit further. I know the difference it makes. Born Hussein Abdi Kahin, Farah teamed up with Buxton Natural Mineral Water and mental health charity Mind for this year's Boiling London Marathon as part of their side-by-side Sweat and Tears collaboration, designed to champion how vital connection, hydration and movement is in supporting mental well-being. It saw Farah join runners at mile 24, one of the toughest points on the 26.2-mile challenge. I've been there. I am a champion. I was elite. But even myself, I've gone through that, says Farah. Towards the end, where they're telling themselves, I can't do it, I'm going to quit, all that stuff goes through your mind. Not a runner? The wall doesn't just apply to those in trainers, chugging energy gels. Everybody has their walls. It's all individual, says Farah, noting we all have certain moments where you are questioning, you are doubting, and the key is to talk about what you're struggling with and to lean on family and friends. He won't go into his own personal mental health challenges, but will say, even for my own story, for myself, without going into it, it's like, no matter how good we are, how great we are, what we have achieved, we are all human beings. Born in the Somali Democratic Republic, in recent years, including on the latest I'm a Celebrity South Africa All-Stars, Farah has talked about how as a child he was a victim of trafficking, moving to the UK under another child's name when he was 9. He was forced to work as a domestic servant.
He went on to win gold medals in both the 5,000 and 10,000 metres on Super Saturday at the 2012 and 2016 Olympics, and in 2017 was knighted and won Sports Personality of the Year too. His highs have been stratospheric, but the lows can be motivating, he explains. You've been working for this position, you've done it, and you sit in it for a little bit, and it's a big dip, he says. London 2012, that was the moment for me. It was everything, as a nation, and to win in front of your home crowd in London particularly. And you do it, and you're like, wow. Then all that's over. Now the crowd's gone, everyone's gone. It's just you, and you've got to put in similar work to what you've done to retain what you've achieved. In that moment, there is that down, but you've got to keep going, and it's all in the mind. If you're strong in your mind, the easier it is. Farah retired from elite running in September 2023 and now lives with his wife Tanya and four children. These days, I hit the gym, I'm not running as much. I used to just run and come back, and that was my happy place. He also dabbles in paddle and plays football, including in previous soccer aid matches. I tell my son, am I improving? He's like, no, says the Arsenal fan, smiling. It's about just getting out and feeling good about myself. He's very much at a different stage of his life. I was lucky enough to have an amazing wife who supported me throughout my career so I could continue to do what I do best. But now I've been involved full on at home. It's not easy, he says with a laugh. Someone said to me, would you rather run or look after the kids? And for me, running is easier. I'd rather do a 15, 16, 17 mile run because it involves a different mind. Being engaged differently, being present, being able to multitask, I'm not sure I'm good at multitasking. I'm just good at running around in circles. Farah's definitely not great at doing nothing. No, it's not me. I've got too much energy. I can't do that, he says. I've got to be doing something. I'm a big kid. Which is why, no matter how old he gets, he'll continue to keep on moving. Running is like a medicine. For me, it's feeling good about myself. It helps me be free. It helps me escape things, he continues. He isn't actually too concerned about ageing, though. Often, if you say to yourself you're this old, you become old, he says. The reality is, the older you get, the harder it is, that's all. The body slows down. So, if you did a workout session today, tomorrow you're going to be a bit tired. And when you're younger, you could do a session and come back and bounce. You don't have that, but as long as you understand it, it's fine. You get the sense he's very measured and comfortable in himself. There's a calmness and inner strength to Farah, an emotional resilience that emanates alongside an infectious optimism. The reason why I have success, why I've crossed that line first more than anyone else and had more fight, is because I've always told myself, you've always got more than what you think you have, he says. Your mind will tell you, I can't do it, but if you believe you've always got more than what you have, you can go that extra mile. You can push through.
So that brings us to the end of this edition of The Talking Newspaper. My thanks to all involved in this week's production. Don't forget, we want to hear from you with any comments you have about the recordings. Do call us on Darlington 465 101. If there is no one in the office to answer your call, leave a message and we will get back to you. Or you can email us at dtnewspaper@outlook.com. Until next time, look after yourselves. From me, Pat Walker, and all the team, goodbye.